1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to share something with you here. And let's just pray before we go to it. Lord, I just declare right now in Jesus' name for a life-changing, revolutionizing, radical message tonight that speaks into the hearts of the people. I declare that, Lord, whatever veil may be over our eyes, whatever veil may be in our heart, whatever offense may have come in life, whatever thing the devil may have devised up, cooked up, schemed up, planned up to get us off track, that tonight by the power of God it will be broken. It will be destroyed. It will be thrown aside. It will never be known again. That Lord, tonight, I just believe that as I preach this simple message, that your word will be launched forth as arrows into the hearts and lives of the people. And it'll change our lives, Lord, as it's changing mine right now. And Lord, I thank you for it and I praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, church, I want to share a message with you tonight. I preached Sunday about afflictions. The Bible says, God, my God. Everybody say, my God. My God, I'm paraphrasing here, has delivered me from every affliction. No matter what the affliction is, no matter where it comes from. And what I got to talking about that really just been speaking to my heart as I watch Christians and as I see our lives and even myself, sometimes in life we get so hung up with trying to figure out where did the affliction come from? How did the affliction come? Why did it arise? Why did this happen? Where is it going from? Oh God, what's this or what's that? That we miss any opportunity that God would have to see if I have a miracle in our lives because we're too busy trying to find out about the affliction and come to this understanding about the affliction. Now, some of you, I know, are analytical thinkers, and you have to think everything through and all the process through, and I can you know, understand that and give you that. But sometimes you need to quit. Sometimes you need to just throw out the sheet that you're writing of pros and cons and all the things that it possibly could be. You need to just throw it to the wind and say, I don't care what's happening right now. I don't care how this happened. I don't care where it came from. I don't care what's happening on this affliction. But I just declare that my God has delivered me from all afflictions and I'm just going to go on forward. Now, I preach this on Sunday, and I hate to preach messages like this sometimes, because if I ever preach a message like how to maintain your joy, then, you know, man, my life is just destroyed after that. It's just like the devil comes and says, I'll teach you to preach on that. And then it's just like my life is hell. So Monday, after preaching this message on afflictions, I have a busy day and I have to go a bunch of different places. And so I'm driving my truck down the road and I thought it felt a little funny. And, But I didn't even stop to look. I just said, oh, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to keep driving the truck. It breaks down, whatever. I got places I got to go, things I got to do, people I got to see. I ain't got time to be messing with the truck. So I'm just driving down the road, and it still feels kind of strange. And so finally, I go do, let's say, 50% of the things I had to do. And it's about noontime, and so I pull over the road, and I pull into a Sonic to eat. And I'm going to grab a hamburger right quick. And I pull in the Sonic and I think, well, while I'm stopped here, I better just get out and look at my truck. Something's not right. Something doesn't sound right. I keep hearing this something going on. And I get out and I walk around and my front right tire has thrown all the rubber off of it or is about to throw all the rubber. I've never seen a tire do this. It's like the tread of the tire has come apart from the whole tire. And it's like I got a piece of a tire hanging around my tire. And I said, well, that doesn't look good. And so right off the bat, I started to say, man, you know, here I am. It's, you know, 172,000 degrees outside. I got a flat. I don't have a spare. I got places I got to go. What am I going to do? Who am I going to call, you know? And then on top of that, my wife's sick, you know, so I can't call her. She got sick right here Sunday. I didn't even get through the message of affliction. She done got afflicted. So I got nobody to call, and I'm just sitting there. And you know what I decided to do? I decided I'm going to eat a hamburger. Amen. I just buzzed back in and said, hey, send out some onion rings, too. Sat in my pickup, turned on the air conditioner, and said, you know, God, I thank you that you are the God who delivers me from all my afflictions. I don't know how we're going to deliver it, but I am just going to eat me a hamburger. I'm going to sit here and praise you, and I'll figure out what we're going to do in this in a minute. And so my mind as I was eating was trying to think about, oh, you know, what if that thing blows out, you know, right there, you're going around the corner, throws all the rubber off, what's it going to do? And I said, shut up, I'm going to take some time right here and praise God and just forget about God, you're going to deliver me. On what? So I finished eating my hamburger and I began to think about, okay, now where am I going to go get this tire fixed? And I don't know really any places in Bandera, I don't shop there much. And so I said, oh, well, there's a tire place right down over here. So I'll go down there. I saw it one sometime. And so I drive down there and the guy looks at me and says, boy, that's bad. And I said, I know it's bad. You want to tell me? I didn't drive in here. Do you tell me it's bad? Do you got anything to help me? He said, nah, I don't have anything like that. Fix you. No tire. To work. I don't have anything. Yeah. And I'm like, well, Lord, have mercy. Now I got to drive farther. I was just like praying, okay, can you get me from here to there? But now I got to go somewhere else. He said, I tried this other guy. So I go down there. I drive up to the place that looks like the most unlikeliest place in the world for a tire. But thank God, around back, he had about, 40 used tires. And so he comes out. I said, I got this, tire. And he says, yeah. He said, I'll get with you in just a minute. He won't even hardly talk to me. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is not going like I think. And I stopped. Thank you, your message. What did you preach? So what? There's an affliction going on here. Quit trying to figure it out. Just sit back and sit in the passenger seat and let the Holy Ghost drive. Just don't worry about it. So I said, all right, here we go. So the guy comes out and he says, he goes back there real slow. He comes back rolling this tire. And says, well, it's not the same size tire, but he says, it'll get you down the road. And I said, well, what do you want for it? And I'm thinking, I'm just wincing for the price. He says, I'll take $10. I said, excuse me? He said, $10. I said, I'll take it. You got another one back here? Put it on us. He started laughing. I said, no, okay. So I'm thinking, well, things are looking up a little bit. So this whole escapade here, cost me $15 is all. Got a tire, finished out my day, came home. The whole thing, and I thought to myself, wasn't that a whole lot nicer? Wasn't that a whole lot easier than trying to get in there and figure, and I know this is a simple affliction, but still, trying to figure it all out. And so the Lord started speaking to me about this, and I want to show you something here. And the title of this message is Living a Prophetic Life. A lot of times we want a prophet to come to town and speak a prophetic word over our life, and then we want him to say, yea, hey, thus saith the Lord, and then map your life out for you. And then you get it on CD, and then you listen to it over and over again until you know what's going to happen, and you feel confident. You feel like it's faith. And I don't believe that's what really Jesus ever intended for us to do. What I believe is that he wanted us to live a prophetic life, us. He wanted us to speak out of our mouth. He wanted us to walk with the word of God. Said he wanted us to take his word and speak it out, prophesy it, if you'll let me say it this way, out over our lives and our situation and what's going on. It'd have been real easy to sit there and say, this is a disaster. It's not ever going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. We're broke down, tore up. This isn't going to make any. We're not going anywhere. Why does this always happen to me? I don't know why it happened. Lord, I'm a preacher. I'm doing your work. And look at here, the old tire broke down. This shouldn't be, Lord. But why go figure all that out? Why waste your energy? Start living a prophetic life. Now, David here in the story of David and Goliath, if you look over in verse 40, there, I just want to focus in on this one scripture here. You know the story. He's going to go fight Goliath. He's going to go out there. He tells Saul all that's going to happen. And then when it came time for the battle, David reached down, and it says here, he took his staff with his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. Everybody say 5 smooth stones. 5, not one. Now, he was confident that he was going to kill the giant in one, but he took 5. Now, a lot of preachers have preached all about this thing, but I'm preaching tonight, okay? Now, go over to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. Now, it's the end of David's life. He reached down there at the brook, and he took 5 stones. I'm going to say this, and we get to heaven. If I'm wrong, then y'all can all tell me I was wrong. I don't think David knew why he took 5 stones. I don't think there was a calculative thought there. I don't think that he knew that Goliath had 4 brothers. I don't know that he knew that. I don't know how he could have known that. He never makes mention of it. But he reached down and he picked up 5, not 1. Have you ever done something and you think, I don't know why I'm doing that? And then you needed it. Or you did something and it worked. Y'all with me? That is the prophetic life of Jesus working itself out through you, but you're not even knowing it. You're not recognizing it. Or maybe you feel like, what is this? Why did I do that? But there's a purpose for it. You see, church, I just don't believe we as Christians, when we pray, we really believe what we're praying. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, I don't know what's going to go on today, but just direct my steps? How many of y'all ever prayed that? And then when you, did you pray it? Well, did you really believe he's going to direct your steps? So then if something went haywire, isn't it funny how we already had our steps believed? We already had our steps laid out. We already had the path that we wanted. We already had the way it should have gone. I shouldn't have had to have a buy a tire. Right? I wasn't in my path that day. I didn't wake up and said, you know, today I'd like to have a blowout. That sounds like something good to do. Lord, could you use that some way to make this work out? Why would anybody pray something like that? The bottom line is we Christians want to wake up and we want to pray for our steps to be ordered, but then we want to order them. Oh, look at the person beside you and say, my Lord, this guy's good. Look at the person beside you and say, this guy preaches, he's unbelievable. We ought to go to church here all the time. Y'all with me? Isn't that what we do? Say, Lord, order my steps today, prepare my way, make all the crooked paths straight. But we've already planned them out. And in the plan, it's ice cream and roses. Right? Okay. I don't think David knew why he reached down and picked up five stones. But he did. And I don't know, you don't hear any mention about it, but I think that when the battle was over and somewhere along the line, David one day reached down in his pouch and there's those stones, and I think he remembered them. You know, I picked up those five stones. I wonder what I picked up five stones for. Maybe he kept them. I don't know. So you see here in chapter 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15, David goes out with the Philistines and he runs across in verse 16 a guy named Ishbibenob. And he was a giant. Matter of fact, he was one of the sons of the giant. He was one of Goliath's sons. And he runs across him there. And they're going to do battle. And he's battling him, and I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. I'm just painting with a broad brush tonight. It doesn't say that he reached in there and picked out his stone. Imagine by now, David's got him a nice polished sword, and he's king. Probably isn't working with a sling much anymore. But because he'd gotten old, and because he had kind of eased up on his walk, maybe, I don't know. Look at the next verse, verse 17. The king, giant was going to kill him. And it says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. And the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go no more out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. David took on this guy, but he was more than he could handle. And he almost killed him. But he had a friend, Abishai. And Abishai came to David's rescue and he killed that giant. And then the next verses go down there through and tell you the other three that David's mighty men killed. You with me? Now look at chapter 22. And look over in verse 30. You need to read chapter 22 tonight, all of it. But chapter 22 is David's last song. He's the last song he wrote and the last song he sung. And it's all about the praises of God. And verse 29 says, for you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. Wait a minute. If the Lord's going to enlighten your darkness, that means you had some darkness. Right? Again, it goes back. The Lord shall deliver me from the afflictions, but nobody wants the afflictions, but the glory, hallelujah, is in the deliverance from the affliction. Amen? The light is what sets forth and frees the darkness, right? But if there wasn't any darkness, then couldn't any light shine forth and make it go away? For you are the lamp, for you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness, and by you I can run through a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. But we don't want a troop and we don't want a wall. Am I preaching good? We don't want those things. But just because you don't want them doesn't mean they're not going to come in your life. And the key to living a successful life is learning to live a prophetic life so that you speak forth what God's word said. You speak forth what God is doing. You speak forth out of your mouth what you're believing God for in his life, what his word says. And it's like this. Look at verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Verse 32. For who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? God is my salvation and my power. He makes my way perfect. He makes my way perfect. See, it's not that he makes a perfect way, but he makes my way perfect. We want a perfect way, but he says, no. I just make your way perfect. He works it out. He does the miracle. He brings forth the deliverance. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war and my arms to bend the bow of bronze. You also have given me the shield of your salvation, the gentleness you have made me great. You have enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. This is a man whose son tried to kill him. This is a man who had to flee and leave his throne because the king was the son was trying to kill him. This is a man who had hardship in life. And he says, you know what, Lord? You just made my path broad so I wouldn't fall off. I remember when I first started working construction. We were out there one day and at first job I took as a carpenter was a remodel job. So it was fairly easy. And the second job we had, we were building a home and it had 10-foot walls. And so we'd get on there, and the first day we got on there, we got on the ladder and we're putting the top plate down. We got the top plate down, and then the other carpenter that was working with me, he just jumped up on top of the wall, 2x4 wall, and started walking the 2x4 wall down to the next place, put the rafters down. And I watched him do that, and I thought, man, I don't know if I can do that, So I got up on the wall, straddled the wall, and then I was like, man, I kept telling myself, it's not that far down. You can fall, it ain't going to kill you, But it didn't help me. I was scared. I couldn't get up on that wall to walk. And so the head carpenter came by, and he said, what's the matter? And I said, I don't know. I'm not really scared of heights, but I just never done this in my life. And he said, well, you got to do it. Or, you can't work as a carpenter. And I needed the job bad, so it's like, okay, I got to overcome this fear. I got to walk that plate. And it wasn't easy, man. I mean, at first, it was not easy to walk that 2x4 wall. Nowadays, I do good to walk on the 8-foot porch and not fall off. I'm always praying, God, enlarge my path. I've got this problem with concrete. I don't know what. We were pouring concrete the other day, and I was so praying and aware of my surroundings because I did not want to fall on the concrete. I didn't want a testimony like the concrete the other day. And so I the job was going, and it had been hard, and things weren't going right. And I looked over and I said, oh, my gosh, you didn't put that metal plate in the concrete. And it already put the concrete in the beam, and it has to go down into the beam, and it looked like it was getting hard. And I said, they didn't put that plate in there. And so I was going to walk over there and do it. So I walked up and I looked at this place and I said, I don't want to cross there, because I had to go across the form, across the steel, and get to the other side. And so I was like, man, I don't want to go there. So because there's an interior inside courtyard, so that's where it had to be. So it was about from me to Muggsy. And so I said, okay, I'll go across here. And so you don't ever step on a form. That's a no-no. You don't ever step on the form board when you're on a job, because if you, your weight will push it down and be off. But I didn't care. I looked around to see if anybody's looking. And I was going to step on that form board because the ditch was real wide there. And I thought, I'm standing here. I'm going to fall in the ditch. And so I'm going to watch. I'm going to jump. So I got up on the form board and then I stepped over. And I was so proud of myself, you know, that I made it. And when I stepped on the other side, darn it, the concrete wasn't quite hard. It was a little loose. And my foot went down and I didn't catch it. And I took the next step. My toe hung on the steel and I just fell face forward. And I don't know what's up with me. You know, it's like I'm getting too close to 50 and we just go stupid when we get that age. And instead of trying to catch myself, you just go, when you start to fall, you just go to the dead position. Well, what's up with that? There's no like cat-like agility. You just go dead and it's gone. Boom, hit the ground. And thank the Lord, I did have, you know, I wouldn't call them cat-like reflexes, but I did have minimal reflex. And I caught myself right before I just went face first into the steel. And then praise God, you know, because it's all tied with wire. And it's a miracle I didn't poke a wire through my hand, but I fell just right. And then, of course, I tried to get up as quick as I could, but that didn't work much anymore, you know, so that nobody would see me. And, of course, I'd fall in the concrete and had concrete all over my leg again and all. I was like, what is wrong with you, you old fool, you know? And I got the plate in. That was, you know, I made it for that. But the point I was trying to say here is that we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to work. We don't want it to go like that. And we don't always know that our steps are sure. It looked good to me. And we have to pray, Lord, enlarge our paths. Because we can't. We're maybe not as agile as we used to be. And we can't walk that 2x4 plate anymore. And we need a 2x12 laying down there to try to hang on to. You with me? But living prophetically, you're saying, Lord, enlarge my paths. And living a prophetic life like David did, he reached and he got those 5 stones. And I don't know for sure that he knew the brothers were there, but he sure knew it at the end. So he sings a song saying, God, you so delivered me. All those times, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, I'm South Texas cowboy, okay? All those times that it looked like I was going down, here we go, Lord. You set me on high, you widened my path, you made it all work. You took the darkness that came against me and you brought in the light. And it's not living a life of just name it, claim it. It's living a life, it's called a prophetic life, where you're speaking forth the promises of God for your life. You're believing no matter what it looks like at the moment, everything's going to be okay. Because God's got you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to set you free. Quit looking at, man, why'd this battle happen? And just say, praise God, we're going to go on through it. God, you're going to deliver me. You're going to take me to the other side. I cannot tell you why some people it looks like goes through harder times than others. I don't know. You say, well, Pastor, they got sin in their life. Yeah, we all got sin in our life. You can't go around and just lay everything on the sin deal and say, well, he's a sinner and that's what happened to him. Because I know some people don't have much of anything happen to them. They're big sinners. Amen? I'm just saying we got to get out of the thing of spending too much time on trying to figure out what the affliction was about and start living the prophetic life and saying, I don't know why I'm carrying around these 4 stones, but someday I'm going to need them. Someday, something's going to come up. I'm going to need this thing. I'm going to go ahead and stick that in my pocket, and I'm going to keep it right there because one of these days I'm going to need it. And you know, the second part of this message is you just pray that when you can't do it and you're losing the battle, that you got a friend that at least come rescue you. We all need an Abishai in our life to come out and rescue us at the last minute. We're about to get our heads cut off. Amen. So that's what I encourage you about tonight. Live a prophetic life. Amen. Stay with it. Don't quit. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, hey, live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Come on, Joe.